Father, we do thank you. We thank you that the events we celebrate last week, this week, should be every day of our lives were real. There are real people involved. You were real and you hung and died in our place. You shed your blood for us that we could be forgiven, that we could know you. Father, thank you. Fill our hearts with joy because Jesus died and rose again for us. This is real. You did this for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing has happened in all of history that comes close to being as important as Jesus' death and resurrection. It's because he lives that we can live. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, deal with the resurrection. Obviously, four different people God used to write those. So we've got four different views of these events. There are some that would say that those were contradictions. They are in perfect harmony. As we blend them together, we see the truth, the reality of what took place at that time. Each chose different elements to emphasize. We're going to predominantly focus on Matthew 28 today, which is a focus on a group of women. Actually, the first ones to see the risen Messiah. What an emotional roller coaster they had been on that week. It started on when Jesus came in on the donkey. And to the shouts and the cheers of the crowd, thinking that he had come to set up the kingdom, that finally the Romans would be thrown out. And he would set up his kingdom and the Jews would rule and reign with him. We have the Last Supper, where Jesus revealed, showed to them how he was the Passover lamb that was broken, that would be broken and beaten, and killed for them. We have the arrest in the garden. We have the disciples running in fear and hiding. All of them left him. John, we know, was at the trials, at least some of them. Peter was outside in the courtyard, but the others were gone, leaving him alone. At the crucifixion, only John of the disciples was there. But who was there? The women, watching him die. They were there when he was buried. They had a process at that time of wrapping the body in linen and putting spices in it to help with the smell as the body began to decompose. They were there. They helped with that process. They touched and handled his dead body. At the lowest point they could possibly be. We pick up in Matthew 28, verse 1. It says, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. After the Sabbath. For the Jews, that is kind of actually the focus of their whole week was the Sabbath. They didn't have days of the week, Sunday, Monday, like we have. They had the first day after Sabbath, the second day after Sabbath. Everything revolved around this. This was the first day after the Sabbath. They couldn't work on the Sabbath. They had prepared his body as much as they could on Friday. They had to rest on Saturday. But first thing in the morning, early in the day, just as the sun was coming up, they headed out. They had to finish what they had started on Friday. Early in the day, just as the sun is coming up, the first day of the week that we call Sunday now, this event, this resurrection that we celebrate is so important that the whole worship system changed. For the Jews, it was Saturday. And they would rest on Saturday. And that was the focus of their week. For us, who celebrate the risen Lord, What day do we meet on now? Sunday. What day did he rise? Sunday. Why do we meet on Sunday? To celebrate the resurrection. Every time we get together on Sunday morning, we should be remembering. This is the day he rose. Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection. Now it says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. We know that's only a partial list. There's other ladies that were there. The other gospels fill in. We've got a list of names in the others that tell us who were there. These ladies had ministered with Jesus in Galilee. They were there with the disciples, providing food, money, resources. These were the ones that were at the cross. These were the ones that were there when he was buried. Now, why are they here? Why are they there on that Sunday morning? Jesus had said, I'm going to rise again in 3 days. Now, if you took Jesus at his word, what would you do on Sunday morning? Let's go to the grave. Let's go see. Let's go wait. Is that why they were there? That was the furthest thing from their minds. They were focused on what they had to do. What they had to do with his dead body. You'd think they would have heard him say, I'm going to rise. But that was the furthest thing from their minds. They were sad. They were dejected. They came to see the grave. Mark 16 tells us that they brought spices so they could come and anoint him. They were there on that new day out of respect, out of devotion. They were there on that new day to anoint his body one last time. One little more thing that they could do. They didn't have the faith or the confidence in the resurrection. Again, I would ask you, how many of you have seen somebody rise from the dead? Would you believe it? If we didn't have it recorded, would you believe when he said, in 3 days I'm going to rise? Probably not. Mark tells us they're walking along, talking, as they head to the tomb. They've got their spices, they're ready to go. They remember Friday night, there was a big stone in the way. They had rolled it over the entrance to the tomb, and they're going, how are we going to get in? What are we going to do? We've got all these spices, we're all ready to go to work, but we have the stone. So they were discussing about what they were going to do. I suppose maybe if we all get together, we can push this big stone. They weren't sure. And then we get to verse 2. It says, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. We have another earthquake. If you remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, when he died, there was an earthquake. The veil in the temple was torn in two, opening access to the Father. Now, 3 days later, we have another earthquake. Not because Jesus died, but because it says an angel came down and moved the stone. Now, why did the angel move the stone? So they could get in and anoint the body? God looked at it and said, those ladies need to get in there, so I'll send an angel down and he can move the stone and they can get in and anoint the body. I think as a kid, I would think about, the angel came down so Jesus could get out. Right? He was in there and he was alive and he couldn't get the stone moved. So I was a kid. Jesus, after he was resurrected, went through walls. That stone was nothing. He was already gone. The angel came down and moved the stone so that we could see in. That stone needed to be out of the way so that we could see the empty tomb. The angel came down and opened the tomb so that we can see in. The women looked in the tomb. Well, in other gospel accounts, we read about Peter and John looking in. We actually read that John looks in, and because of how the grave clothes were laid, John believed right there. He knew Jesus was alive. Looking in the tomb, they had wrapped the body in the strips of cloth, wrapped round and round and round, with the spices stuck in between. If you were a grave robber, probably you would be in a hurry, right? Get the stone out of the way, you get in the tomb, we're going to get the body and we're going to go. Would you take time to unwrap the body? If you did, would you be careful and lay it back down before you left with the body because you're stealing the body? No. What they saw was those grave clothes emptied. They were laid just like they had wrapped them, minus the body. Jesus had gone through those. He had resurrected, leaving them just the way they were. Verse 3 talks about the appearance of the angel was like lightning and his garment as white as snow. White as snow. Anybody understand that one? We've seen that. We get it. When we finally get sunshine and we got fresh snow, this was whiter than that. The angel was shining bright with God's glory, white as new snow. And his assignment was to announce to the world that Jesus was alive. It says the guards in verse 4 shook for fear of him from the angel, and they became like dead men. It's kind of a funny picture. You got Roman soldiers, I believe, in their Roman garb and their swords. And their armor, and they're guarding this tomb of a dead person. But they don't want anybody to get in there. And we're talking tough guys. These are men that know if they fail at their task, they will be killed. They are there at the tomb, and then we have this group of ladies coming up with all their spices, wondering, how are we going to get the tomb open? What are we going to do? This is so horrible. This is so awful. And it says, the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men. These rough, tough soldiers were more afraid than Dorothy going before the wizard, or even the cowardly lion. Remember him shaking as he walked down the aisle. More afraid, these soldiers. And they were so afraid, they froze. They passed out. Interesting picture. Earthquake was over, but the guards kept shaking. At the sight of this angel, they were terrified. It was so unexpected. It was out of their realm of thinking. An angel? A bright, glorious being beyond comprehension? And they were so afraid, they passed out. But what about the ladies? Verse 5. Says, the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he is lying. The guards have no relationship with Jesus. They don't know him. There is no comfort offered to them. No help with their fear, and they pass out because of their fright. But the women, on the other hand, those wondering about the stone, those coming to minister to what they thought was a dead body, they were afraid. But the angel says, like angels usually say when we see them, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know why you're here. I know why you ladies got up so early on this day to come out here. You're looking for Jesus, the one that was crucified, the one that you saw die on the cross, the one that you helped to wrap and lay in this tomb. He has risen. He's resurrected. He's come back to life. They knew he was dead. The soldiers knew he was dead. If you remember at the cross, they typically crucifixion was like a 2 or 3 day ordeal. Physically, of pushing up on the nail to exhale and then sinking back down. And then it was torture. That was how they designed it. But Jesus died in a short amount of time. The soldiers knew he was dead. They didn't break his legs because they could tell. They pierced his side instead. If you remember, the Passover lamb was not to have any broken bones. Wonder why the soldiers didn't break his legs. They knew he was dead. But God had foretold 1,000 years before, no bones would be broken. Joseph and Nicodemus and the women knew he was dead. They were the ones that had the tomb. They wrapped him. They covered him with the spices. They knew he was dead. And the angel says, he's not here. Don't be afraid. You're looking for him, but he's alive. He's risen. It's over. He's gone. Luke says, somewhere in this time, they remembered his words. They remembered, oh yeah, remember he said he was going to do this? It's starting to sink in. The angel says, come and see where he was lying. Come in, look, see the tomb is empty. Luke tells us that the angels was also inside. And he says, he's not here. Look, this is where his body was. It's gone. It would be hard to believe. It would be hard to understand. This isn't normal occurrence. When someone dies, we know that grief. They're gone. There's an empty place. They understood that grief, but it was changing. The angel said, he's not here. He's risen. He's alive. Verse 8, we'll get to 7 in a little bit. It says, they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And they ran to report it to his disciples. They had gone from major depression, major sorrow, grieving the loss, having their hopes dashed. If any of you have ever been through a big disappointment in your life, you plan for something only to have it fall through. You understand a little bit of what they're feeling. I intended to ask Mindy. I don't think she will mind. And she's not here, so I don't have to pay her. But our daughter Mindy, when she was in high school in Nebraska, she was a cheerleader. She tried out for the squad when she was a freshman, and she made it. She loved it. I did never understand it, but this was like Mindy's thing. This was... I mean, she had, I can't even try it now. All the kicks down and the right height and the right angle and it really was her life. She practiced hard. Tryouts came for her sophomore year. I believe I have the timing right here. And, there was a group of girls that were trying out, but Mindy was already on the squad. You know, and she was, no bias on my part, one of the best ones on the squad. She was good. But guess what happened? She tried out. She did. We were at the tryouts. I wish you could have known her before. Because, I mean, she ate and slept and breathed cheerleading. She loved it. And she tried out and she did well. Better than most, I thought. And they came to announce the winners. She didn't make it. We still, to this day, do not understand why. Well, I can't say why. How it happened. God used that amazingly in her life and worked. It was, as a parent, it was hard to go through. It was hard to see one of your kids go through that loss. And God used that and changed her through it. And you can talk to her. I think she's supposed to be here next month about it. And she'll tell you some of the lessons that she learned. But that disappointment, even as a parent watching it, the disappointment that the ladies felt at the tomb, even that the disciples felt, even though they were hiding, all of their future had been placed in this man. They had looked forward as Jews to the Messiah coming. They had looked forward to that for generations. And everything was lining up. The blind were seeing. The deaf were hearing. The lame were walking. There were even some people that he had raised from the dead. Everything was looking like he rides in on a donkey, just like the Old Testament said he would do, to set up his kingdom. Everything, this is it. This is happening. And he died. That was a loss, a huge loss. All of their hopes and expectations. He was arrested. He was tried. He was beaten. He was crucified. He died. He was buried. But they thought he was the Messiah. He had to be. Everything looked that way. The loss would have been huge. And then the angel says, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus. He's not here, for he has risen." Could it be? Is it possible? Could he really be alive? It was beginning to dawn on them. They were starting to realize. I can imagine it says they ran off. The angel said, "Go tell the disciples." They headed out. They had to tell. They're headed out. Great sorrow, great loss. Is he really alive? Is this really happening? Did this really happen? And then it says in verse 9, "Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. They came up." What would you do? You've gone from loss. You've heard the angel. Do I need to turn this off? Okay, we'll try that. They've gone from loss, huge loss. The angel says, "He's not here. He's risen." They see the graves close. They hear again, "He's risen. He's alive." They're headed out, and there he is. What would you do? I don't think there's much choice. They fell down. They worshiped at his feet. He was the Messiah. He is the Messiah. He died in their place. The blood that he shed was for them. It's kind of interesting in the Greek, the greeting that he has and says to them. I mean, you think he'd come up with something profound. It's just a normal greeting. "Hi, how's it going?" But they fell down and they worshiped him. He was there. They could touch him. They could see him. That is the response. They were overwhelmed. They go from the deepest of the deep to the highest of the high. They were overwhelmed with joy. This Jesus that they saw die, they know was dead. They know he was laid in the tomb. The tomb's empty. The angel says he's risen. And now they've seen him. This is God. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. He is their God. He is alive. Verse 7, we'll back up to that one. Angel says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Verse 10, Jesus says, the angel tells them first. Then Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they shall see me." This news is too great to keep to ourselves. It was too big for them. Jesus says right there, "Go tell the disciples." You remember what the disciples did. They all ran away. Those chickens, they were hiding in a room. They couldn't even go to the grave. They couldn't even watch the crucifixion. And Jesus says, "Go tell them." One of the Gospels points out that he says specifically, go tell Peter. Go tell the one that betrayed me. I'm alive. Some would say that this was a made-up story. Would women who never expected a resurrection, would women that went to anoint a dead body make up a story like this? I don't think so. Would disciples who were hiding in fear fabricate a story like this and then die for this truth? All except for John did. Go and tell them. Go and tell them, I'm alive. I have risen from the dead. Don't be afraid. Take this word and tell the world. This is too great a news to keep to yourself. Let the disciples know. Let the world know. Jesus, God's Son, lived and died on this earth, was buried, and he rose again. He paid the penalty for our sin. All who repent and trust in him have eternal life. I do not mean to belittle this at all, but the Wizard of Oz, I guess, is stuck in my head right now. When the witch died, ding dong, the witch is dead. I mean, the Munchkins, of all things, they were celebrating. I know, bad picture maybe, but I mean, that was huge. Let the joyous news at last be spread. Not the witch. The Savior of the world is alive. Tell the world. Tell his disciples. He's no longer dead. Another song. He's alive. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. What does the resurrection mean to us today? We get the ladies. I mean, we can see the loss, and it goes to overwhelming joy. I think one of the biggest things is God's word is true. Jesus said again and again, I am going to die, and I am going to rise in 3 days. The Old Testament tells us. We saw the Passover last Friday, the picture of the lamb being slain. The blood being spread over the door. God was saying, my Messiah will die for you. God's word is true. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is fully and completely God. He has the power over death. Don't be afraid anymore. We don't have to fear death. Jesus conquered it. Salvation is complete. He died on the cross. Who deserves death? You and me. He died in our place. When we repent and turn from our sin and trust in him, that death applies to us. Our salvation is complete. He rose victorious. What greater joy can there be than that? Jesus is alive. He died in our place. He paid the penalty for our sin. Spread the news. Go tell his disciples. Go tell the world there is a Savior. There is a Savior who died and paid our debt completely and rose again that we could have new life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Again, I would ask you, have you repented and trusted the Savior? The one who died and paid the penalty for your sin. The one who rose again and conquered death. If you have never turned from sin, I would encourage you to do that right now. To simply pray in your heart and say to God, I know that I have sinned. I know I have disobeyed you. Father, I ask your forgiveness. Jesus paid the penalty for me. Come into my life. If you've never prayed that prayer, and you just prayed that now in your heart, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you quickly? Just raise it up and put it back down. Thank you. For those of us who already have trusted Him, are we living each day in the hope, the joy of knowing He's alive? Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that He was willing to die in our place to pay the penalty for our sins. Father, for this one that raised their hand today, I ask that you would work in their heart and their life, that you would give them understanding of repentance and trust in you, the only one that can forgive, the only one that can save us from the penalty of sin. Father, help us all to live daily in the joy knowing Jesus is alive. We are forgiven. Heaven's gates are opened. Access to you is gained. Father, give us greater joy in celebrating His resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.